the name of Jesus, who makes us beautiful in God's eyes, their fellow redeemed. I expect that you've heard the statement, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. In other words, what some person says looks beautiful, another person might say, no, that's a piece of junk. That old house that one person says, oh, is a super cool fixer-upper, another says, that's a money pit. When my grandson brings me his finger painting, I say, Hudson, that's beautiful. Whereas somebody else might say, that's a messy piece of paper. My favorite fishing shirt, the one that's got the collar torn on it and the sleeves got holes in it, I've had to dig it out of the rag bag a couple times already. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. That's not only true for inanimate objects, it's also true of people. Some people are just unquestionably good looking. Others, maybe not so much. But if that second man was your grandpa, who used to sit you on his lap and teach you about life, and he loved you, and he loved your mom, and he loved your grandma, which of those two men would be more beautiful in your eyes? The second one. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. You realize, however, that sometimes sin messes with our vision. Sometimes sin leads us to be attracted to things that God says are not beautiful. And on the other hand, lead us to disdain things that God says are. And so sometimes we have to let God kind of correct our vision. And he'll do that today in his word. God is going to help us see what is truly beautiful. Today we consider the theme, true beauty in God's eyes. We'll see what true beauty is, what true beauty does, and then where true beauty comes from. The word of God that we have before us is actually part of a longer section where the Apostle Paul is basically saying to Christians, let your light shine in a world that is oftentimes opposed to what you believe. He introduces this whole section with these words, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. In other words, even though unbelievers may initially object to our godly behavior, ultimately they may come to appreciate it and even give thanks to what God has done in us. As an example of that, Paul speaks about some of the ways that we can let our light shine in ways that maybe the world still thinks are dumb or offensive or even wrong. For example, he says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority. In other words, Christians obey the government even when it's corrupt. Honor your teachers. Respect your parents even when it's not popular in the world. He says a similar thing about slaves, or we might say employees. He says, slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not to only those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. The world might say, well, that's crazy. Why would I respect somebody who doesn't respect me, who abuses me, who mistreats me? That's unjust. And we say as Christians, yes, but that's what Jesus did for us. As Jesus entrusted himself to the one who judges justly, so we can do the same. And then Paul speaks about one more realm where we can let our light shine, even in a pagan world, and it's in our homes, or specifically in marriage. And this is where he talks about what true beauty is. Peter first describes what true beauty should not be based on. He puts it this way: your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles or the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. In other words, it's a sin to wear gold jewelry in church. And the more godly you are, the more shabby your clothes should be. No, that's not what he's saying. It's not wrong to look nice. What he's saying is our true beauty should not be defined by what's on the outside, but rather what's on the inside. He says what? Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, but rather it should be that of your inner self, right? What's on the inside is what counts the most, right? It's not what you look like, but who you are. Peter's not talking about cosmetics. He's talking about character. And what character does God find most beautiful? Well, Peter tells us. It's the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Think about that a minute. A gentle spirit. Right, not harsh, not brash, not domineering, not my way or the highway, but also quiet. Not loud, not I need to be heard, my opinion is most important, right? Turn up the decibels. This kind of beauty, Peter says, is unfading. Right? It never grows old. It never goes out of style. In fact, it gets better over the course of time. In fact, maybe you know somebody who's older than you are, who's got maybe a few more miles on her body, been around the block a few times, and yet still displays this kind of gentle and quiet spirit. On this Mother's Day, I can't help but think of my mom. My mom had a gentle and quiet spirit. It's not that she wasn't attractive. She is, still is, but her true beauty was on the inside, a gentle, quiet spirit. I can't think of a time that she raised her voice at me, except the time I brought the dead skunk into the kitchen and laid it on the table. But the idea of how she cared for four active boys with gentleness and respect and godliness, I think that's something that God would say is beautiful. And I know that you know people who have that same beauty. Peter says it's something that is of great worth in God's sight. Now that we've kind of defined what true beauty is, let's go on to look at not only what it is, but what it does. Peter here points to women in the Old Testament who believed in God and who put their inner beauty into action in their lives. He puts it this way: This is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to adorn themselves. In other words, how did these women show that they were beautiful on the inside? He says, they submitted themselves to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. Do you hear what Peter's saying? He's saying that one of the ways that Christian women adorn themselves, and I'll talk about Christian men in a minute, but one of the ways that Christian women adorn themselves, one of the ways that they let their beauty show is by acknowledging that in a marriage, they're not the boss. Now recognize, really, neither is the husband, right? The husband is not designed to be the boss. God does say he's to be the head of the marriage. Scripture says what? The husband is the head of the wife, what? As Christ is the head of the church. What does that mean? It means that just as God gave Jesus the authority to use his authority for the good of the church, you and me, so God gives husbands the authority to use their authority to serve the emotional and spiritual and physical needs of their bride. And ultimately, it's that Christ-like love, it's that selfless sacrifice of a Christian husband that allows and really empowers a woman to say to her husband the same thing that Sarah said to her husband, in fact, the same thing that every Christian says to Jesus, namely, I'm okay if you're my Lord, my head. Isn't that what Sarah did? Sarah obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord, her head. But now someone might say, well, yeah, okay, that works if the husband is a Christian, right? If he shows Christ's love, if he's a model of Jesus, well, then it will work. But what about the Christian woman who's married to somebody who's not even a believer? You're not expected to submit to an unbeliever, are you? Actually, you are. Why? Peter tells us, wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands so that if any of them do not believe the word of God, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. You catch Peter's drift? He's saying that in so many ways, actions speak louder than words. When a Christian wife shows that true beauty, when she treats her husband with respect, when she is gentle and quiet, when she simply lets her light shine, it gets noticed. It has an impact on an unbelieving spouse as much as a believing spouse. But you realize that it doesn't go only one way, it also goes the other way, from husbands to wives. Peter says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect. Wow, he hits the nail on the head, doesn't he? I mean, so often, what wives are looking for in their husbands is not a fatter wallet, not looking for somebody to make all the decisions and fix the problems. They're just looking for someone to be considerate of them, to care about them, to listen to them, to meet their needs. This is what makes men beautiful in the eyes of God. I hate to tell you guys, but it's not your jawline or your hairline or your waistline or even your credit line that makes you attractive to your wife. Okay, maybe once upon a time, but not anymore. Now, what makes you attractive is being considerate. They're not looking for something on the outside. They're looking for something on the inside. This is what makes men and women truly beautiful. Something on the inside. Which leads to the final question, and that is, so what if when I look in the mirror, I don't see someone who's beautiful? I mean, I don't mean on the outside, I mean on the inside. What if on the inside, what I know I think and I say and I do are all ugly? What if I'm not considerate of my wife? What if you're not respectful of your husband? What if your inner spirit is anything but gentle and quiet? Well, then what? Well, that's ugly to God, right? No. And here's why not. Jesus. Yeah, by nature, we are all hideous. But what did Jesus do? Let's go back to Ephesians. Christ loved the church. Who's the church? That's you and me. So let's plug that in. Christ loved you and gave himself up for you to make you holy, cleansing you by the washing with water through the word, and to present you to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. My friends, do you know what people who are holy and blameless and without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, you know what they look like? They look beautiful. That's you. In God's eyes, you look beautiful. This is where true beauty comes from. It's the fact that God looks at you and he sees Jesus. He sees a holy person dressed in Jesus' righteousness, and in God's eyes, that is spectacular. You have true beauty in Christ. You realize what that means? It means I can look around today and see a lot of really beautiful people. Look around. These are some really beautiful people. People with kids and keep people without. Couples and those who are single, all of them have one thing in common. In God's eyes, you're beautiful. Believe it. And let other people see it. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Thanks so much for worshiping with us today. We hope that God's word has strengthened your faith. To help us know more about the reach of our efforts here at Manav, we hope that you'll like and subscribe to our YouTube and Facebook pages, and that you also sign our online friendship register to let us know that you're listening today. God bless and keep you.